For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to Matthew 27, and I ask that you pay special attention to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. That is the text we consider this morning, and I will not reread that, but we'll read beginning at Matthew 27, verse 50. And then we'll read through verse 15 of Matthew 28. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among them which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And the saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Thus far we read the word of God this morning. May God bless the reading of his word. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a joyous day and a joyous occasion for us to gather together on the Lord's Day, the day when Jesus was raised for worship. But I must begin by asking you this morning, is there anything in your life that causes you to be discouraged? Is there anything in your life that makes you sad? Is there any anxiety, anything over which you worry? Any reality, any trouble in your life that almost makes you lose hope? And yes, let's face the reality of death this morning. Are you discouraged at all when you think of death and the power of death? And what about the grave? Maybe you have been to a cemetery recently, to what the angel in another one of the gospel accounts calls the place of the dead. And what do you see when you go to a cemetery? And you see all of those graves. You see death, don't you? You see death in its power and in its seeming victory. Have you gone to the cemetery and been dissatisfied, knowing that and experiencing that while you were there, you couldn't really have any communication with your husband or your wife or your child, knowing that you couldn't take them out of that grave, knowing that in the end, you're going to have to turn your back on that grave and go home alone, doesn't it? And are you ever discouraged in thinking that it seems that death is unconquerable and unconquered? Or maybe it's sin. The reality of death in the grave makes us think of sin. And maybe it's your sin, or maybe it's the sin in your family that you see in someone else, or the sin in the church as much as in the world that discourages you because you see the awful power of sin. Well, then you and I need to go to the cemetery, that cemetery, where there is the grave of Joseph of Arimathea with the women that Sunday morning, early in the morning. For they go, yes, in love. They went that Sunday morning with their spices and their ointments because there just wasn't enough time on Friday night. The Sabbath day was coming. Joseph and Nicodemus did their best. They did anoint the body of Jesus. They did wrap him in linen cloths. They did their best to show their love for Jesus, to honor Jesus, but they didn't do enough in the judgment of these women. So they had prepared. And now very early on Sunday morning, in love for Jesus Christ, with the desire to honor him, to prepare him properly for burial, they have set out for the graveyard. Yes, there's love. but there's sadness. You see, they expect to find a dead body. They expect to find Jesus Christ under the grip of death. They expect to find him in a grave. They expect to find him under the grip or held by the bars of the grave. Death and the grave, they are thinking, that Sunday morning, are unconquered. They needed to hear the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and so do we this morning. Now they needed the angel. They needed to feel and to hear the earthquake. They needed to be able to look into the empty tomb, even to go into that empty tomb. They needed to see those grave clothes. They did not have Matthew 28. They didn't have the New Testament scriptures. We have the scriptures. And God has now provided for us the preaching of the gospel so that we may hear the good news this morning. This is our comfort. This is our hope. Jesus Christ was not there. He's not here. He is risen. So let's hear this morning the good news of the resurrection of Jesus. The good news of Jesus' resurrection, considering 3 points this morning. The truth of his resurrection. Secondly, the benefit of his resurrection. And then thirdly, the personal comfort of Jesus' resurrection. The good news that the angels, or that the women rather, heard from the angel that morning is very obvious. The angel said to these women who thought that Jesus was dead, that they were going to find his dead body, he is not here. Jesus was dead, that's true. You seek Jesus which was crucified on Friday, he was dead. But he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Jesus Christ, that man who was dead the other day, he is now alive. And although the scriptures do not tell us, and we have to be careful in asking such a question, but the question arises, what did these women think? What was their first thought after hearing that word from the angel? He's not here, for he is risen. And perhaps they might have had a moment of disbelief or unbelief, but this was the word of an angel from God, spoken with the power of God, so that these women who had faith believed this word. So maybe their first thought was, not long before this, Lazarus, who was dead, rose from the dead. Jesus raised him. And maybe they were thinking, this is good news, because that resurrection of Lazarus, that's similar to the resurrection of Jesus. And maybe they were thinking, yes, this is good news. The Lord whom we love, the Lord whom we followed, he's coming back to us. But that's not what the angel meant when he said, he is risen. And that's not the truth of Jesus' resurrection. We must not think that Jesus' resurrection is the same as the resurrection of Lazarus. No. The truth of the resurrection of Jesus is that he has not come back. He's moved on. Oh yes, he is alive again, but not alive again here. Not alive again in this world of death. Not alive again, only to be touched again by death. No. He now has, this is what the angel is declaring, he is risen to life that cannot be touched by death. Oh, Friday, you may recall. For our comfort, we considered the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, even though he knew no sin, even though he didn't deserve to have the consequences of sin laid upon him, he came in a human nature that was subject to all of the experiences of suffering, including death. But when the angel declares he is risen, the angel is declaring that he is triumphant over death. He has left death behind. He died once. Now there's no more death for him or suffering. That this is the truth of Jesus' resurrection is clear from all that is recorded here in Matthew 28. We think right away of the empty tomb and the grave clothes, but think for a moment of those words. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here. Ask yourself that question. Why? Why isn't Jesus there? Why isn't he there to greet the women? Why isn't he there after his resurrection to speak with them? If, you see, he had only come back to this life in his resurrection, he would have been there. And there was no reason for him not to be there. But now, Jesus wants the angel to say to the women, to explain to the women, you have come here to this place of the dead, seeking him who is alive, and you need to understand that now that Jesus Christ is risen and risen to glory, this is not the place to find him. Not in a cemetery, and not really anywhere here in this world where there's so much death. He's not here. He is risen. The earthquake and the appearance of the angel also indicate that Jesus' resurrection was not a mere return to this life. There was no need for an earthquake, no need for the presence of an angel if Jesus Christ in his resurrection came back to life the way Lazarus came back to life in his resurrection. God speaks mightily through those miracles. God speaks mightily through the earthquake. He speaks mightily through the presence of the angel saying, this is unique. This is the resurrection of my son. This is a glorious resurrection. Victory over death. This certainly is the significance of the empty tomb. Empty in the sense that there was no body there. And this is the significance of the grave clothes. The angel says to the women, and remember, they didn't have the scriptures then. They couldn't turn to this passage or to any other New Testament passage to hear and to see the testimony of the resurrection. They needed this proof. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And they went into the tomb. There's no body there. And we can infer from other places in the New Testament that they saw the linen clothes lying there as they had been wrapped around the body of Jesus Christ. So that they had the same experience of the Apostle John, which he tells us of in his gospel. That seeing the linen clothes, they believed. He went through the linen clothes. He has a new body. A spiritual body, not an earthly body. A heavenly body. And then you understand too, we need to understand too, that he went through the grave. Not out the opening that was made when the angel rolled the stone away. That's the way Jesus would have come out of the grave had he come back to this life. But the testimony of the text is that he went through the grave, out another opening that he himself made out of death, conquering death. Thus, he is risen, not back to this life, but unto a life of heavenly glory and joy. This is the truth of the resurrection. This is why Jesus Christ's body is not in the tomb. This is why we as a church do not make pilgrimages to a spot in Jerusalem or around Jerusalem to pay homage to the body of Jesus Christ. The explanation is not that the disciples stole the body. The explanation is not that somebody took that body out of the tomb of Jesus and hid it somewhere else or destroyed the body. On this Resurrection Sunday, we must note that God calls us to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and exposes before us the folly of unbelief. We see that here in the soldiers. Their unbelief regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the folly of sin because they were eyewitnesses. They saw the heavenly glory of the angel. They saw the stone rolled away. They saw the empty tomb and the grave clothes. And yet, when bribed and told to tell a lie, they were ready to deny the truth that they saw with their own eyes and to embrace and to spread a lie. His disciples stole his body. We see the folly, too, of the Jews and their unbelief. The only explanation is their stubbornness and their hard-heartedness because of their sin. You see, they believed. The soldiers came and told them what had happened. How they saw the angel and fell as dead men, shaking with fear. They told them about the empty tomb, and they told them about those linen clothes. They believed. All that they did showed that they believed this report of their own guards who they placed by the tomb. They believed that Jesus was risen. That's the only way to explain why they did not have those soldiers arrested, why they did not put them to death, why they paid them that bribe to tell the lie. They knew it was true. Now, when I say they believed, no, I don't mean they believed by faith, that they laid hold of this truth, that they loved this truth, that they embraced the truth that Jesus rose from the dead. No, you see, this is the folly of unbelief. This is always the folly of unbelief. The truth is made plain. And the unbeliever, seeing the truth, will not acknowledge the truth, but tries to hold the truth under in unrighteousness. The unbeliever may see very plainly that God is God, that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and yet he will not believe. And now these people are confronted with the truth. Jesus is risen. Today, the folly of those who do not believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that they don't believe the testimony of the Scriptures. They don't believe the clear testimony of the Old and the New Testament, all of the eyewitness accounts of the women and the disciples. They don't believe the truth, even of the eyewitness account of the unbelievers, of those soldiers, as it's recorded here for us in the Scriptures. Clearly, the calling to you and me then this morning is, be not unbelieving, but believing, believe. the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's word is, he's not dead, he's risen. Who? He. Not Lazarus. He. God's own son. The one that the centurion, when he died, testified, truly, this was the Son of God. The Christ, the one who was appointed by God, the one who was promised in all of the Old Testament. The King and the head of the church. The good shepherd of his sheep. Believe that he is risen. This is for our benefit. The benefit is found in the angel's word to the women. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. That's a command. You may not fear. You must not fear. But it's also, you understand, a revelation to the women and to us. You have nothing to fear, for he is risen. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear the grave. You don't have to fear sin, for he is risen. This tells us more than, you see, that Jesus Christ has moved on from this life to a better life. That's not the only testimony here in the text. For the angel to be able to say to the women, Jesus Christ is not here, he's risen. Therefore, you must not fear, means that the angel is saying very clearly to the women, this resurrection of Jesus Christ is for you and for your benefit. And that's the testimony of the preaching this morning, too. There's nothing to fear because he, Jesus, is risen. Again, you wonder what was going through the minds of the women at that time. Everything was happening so quickly. They had come to the cemetery thinking they were going to find a dead body. They had no idea they were going to see an angel. No idea that the tomb was going to be empty and that the grave clothes were going to be there lying all wound up but with no body. And yet they believed. Maybe immediately they began to have some thoughts about why they didn't need to be afraid. But we have the testimony of Scripture. And not only that, we have not only the words of Peter and Paul and the other writers of the New Testament as they reflected on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we have the thought of the church. For 2,000 years, we've been able to think about this wonderful truth. He's risen. Jesus is risen. And now, there's no reason to fear. Why? Well, the women maybe couldn't think about that, but we can think about this. And the scriptures tell us about this. On Friday, the Lord Jesus said something, and we noticed that very briefly Friday night. In a loud voice, he said, "It is finished." The Lord Jesus Christ declared to all who were at the cross, and to us too, as we read of it in his word, "I have finished all that the Father has appointed me to accomplish. I have made the full payment for sin." You understand that now in the resurrection, God speaks. God says, I agree with that word of Jesus Christ. It's not possible for death to hold my son because he has paid for sin. There's no reason for death. There's no reason for the grave. So God, by his mighty power, raised Jesus from the dead. And then he is able to say to you and me, therefore, fear ye not. do not be afraid. There's no reason to be afraid of death at all. No reason to be afraid of eternal death. You see, that's the testimony of the resurrection. The full payment for sin has been made. That's why Jesus was able to be raised, and that full payment was made for all of his people. So there's no reason, God declares to the women and to all of those who hear and believe this morning, no reason to fear eternal death. And therefore, there's no reason to fear physical death. You don't have to be afraid that through death you're going to enter into everlasting death. No, physical death is now a means by which God brings his people to heaven in their souls. And there's no reason either to fear spiritual death. Oh, spiritual death. Seeing how powerful sin is, seeing sin's power and its control over your own heart and life, or seeing sin's power and control over the heart and the life of someone else, that's very fearful. But we have reason today to see that Jesus Christ has conquered the power of sin. He powerfully gives life and preserves and sanctifies his people. So fear not. But rather have joy. Notice verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear. This is a different fear than what we read of in verse 5, where the angel said, fear not, but now awe and reverence. They departed quickly with fear and great joy. Do you have the joy of the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What is that? Now, positively. Negatively, I don't have to fear everlasting death. I don't have to fear physical death. I don't have to fear the power of sin. But what is the testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? This: he's risen to give you and me life by faith. To give to you and me eternal life now by faith that can never die, that we can never lose. To give unto you and me life in heaven after we die, but especially this: when he returns, he's going to give to you and me life in the resurrection of the body, when he will make all things new. I asked you at the beginning, do you have any discouragement? Do you have any trouble or sorrow that brings you down in your life? But now I ask you this, do you have this confidence, this joy of faith and knowing Jesus is risen from the dead for me and for my benefit? Jesus Christ has conquered death in every aspect for me. Jesus Christ has given me eternal life. Do you know? You see, we read of the soldiers who were terrified and frozen because of fear. We cannot speak of the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for them. We cannot speak of the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for all men. No, in his resurrection, Jesus Christ brings judgment too. And that's symbolized in that earthquake. Judgment came. And the earth is reserved for one great earthquake when it will all be destroyed when he comes. And then Christ will make all things new. He will save all of his people. He will make a new heavens and a new earth. Will you be there? Well, how do you know that Jesus rose from the dead and that's good news for you? Hear the word of the angel to the women, to the women. Fear not ye, For I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. Their faith may have been weak, but they did love him. They believed in him. They put all their hope in him. They trusted in him. Is that you this morning? Does the Word of God identify you this morning as one who seeks Jesus Christ? Do you believe in him for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you devote to him as the risen Lord declared by God to be the King of Kings? Do you devote to him all your life? Then you may hear not only the word of the angel, but the word of God this morning. You have no reason to fear. He is risen for you. So go home. Go to work. Tell others. How can you not tell others? In this world of death, in this world where there is no hope, you must tell others, as the women had to tell the disciples. I have life. I have hope. For I believe in Jesus. And he is risen. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, grant unto us the joy of faith that removes fear of death, and therefore really removes any and all fears that we may have. Grant unto us the joy of faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that leads to a life lived in hope, a life of seeking Jesus, a life of sanctification in serving him, so that others will indeed ask for that reason of our hope. May we, Father, by thy grace, be faithful in telling others, not only by our speech, but also by all of our conduct. He is risen. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.